Talking about Matthew Stafford again?
No, this is one of the nominees for Best Record of the Year. Adele. Easy on
Adele.
Me. Adele. Adele. That's right. Adele. No, or as Bergman likes to call
Adele.
Her. Adele. Yeah. One of the I think this and the Beyonce song are probably the two leading contenders for Record of the Year, I would think. This song was everywhere there for a while. We're playing all the Grammy nominees for Best Record. They came out yesterday. By the way, Beyonce and Jay-Z tied all time in Grammy nominations. I think it is 87. Each Beyonce and Jay-Z have got 87 Grammy nominations, wow. Most in history. One couple tied.
Now that's a power call. Wow.
That really is. All right, so, John, the Demoff thing I forgot. So, yeah, I go to the Rams game on Sunday, and they had a perfectly good rendition of the national anthem. It was sung by a guy named John Huertas, who's an actor who's done a bunch of stuff. Do you know John Huertas?
I don't.
No. He was on, I don't know, one of those Nathan Fillion shows, something like that. And but sang a completely respectable, decent version of the national anthem. Juan looked at me afterwards and said, "You could do that." Nothing to besmirch John Huertas, who sang a complete, but I think my anthem is completely respectable. Do you think that in any world, even if it's an exhibition game, a preseason game, even if it's like a Rams practice maybe, do you think they would let me sing the national anthem? I haven't done the anthem in a while anywhere.
Of course they would. What I mean, why wouldn't they? You've done it at Dodger Stadium. And you
killed
it.
Yeah, I did
kill
it.
Haven't you done it in Angel Stadium?
I did it at Angel Stadium, Dodger Stadium. I did it at a Kings game.
Yeah, this is you.
Yeah.
This is totally respectfully mediocre.
Yeah, respectfully mediocre. I can do this. Is the could have been the John Huertas version for all intents and purposes.
Right, and as a matter of fact, you have a there is a turn this up a little bit, Jorge.
We're so gallantly streaming.
I hit the big notes.
And the rocket's red glare. The
now, what this says,
yes,
this version is sing along. Be part
Correct.
Of the group.
Like at LAFC, the entire Bank of California
right.
Stadium sings the anthem. That's the way it should be.
Frankly, they would be stupid not to let you sing the national anthem.
Well,
at
especially
a Rams
now
game.
At 3-6.
Right. I mean, what do they have to lose?
Yeah.
Another game?
3-6. I mean, it may bring some luck. It may bring some luck. All right. So, John.
Yeah, you should. You should absolutely apply.
Mention that to, I'm going to text Demoff and ask him. I'll tell you exactly what he says in reply, because he is a smart ass.
Yeah, and if you get, by the way, if you get the Rams, I think I can use that to get you the Lakers.
I am scarred by your dreams.
Oh,
are
really?
The Rams nightmare.
That's Demoff.
Yeah.
Dug that up. All right, John, who's the face of the NBA? This is an interesting question. Don't answer, because I got a clip I want to play for you.
Okay.
So Giannis Antetokounmpo appeared on the Serge Ibaka podcast, because everybody has a podcast, and he was asked about who the face of the NBA is. Now, listen to what Giannis says.
You say you wanna when you don't play basketball, you wanna disappear like Tim Duncan he did.
Yes.
Do you feel like you are the face of the league?
I want to be like Tim Duncan. I want to disappear. You put me in the face of the league. I'm trying to disappear from it.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm asking, do you want? I'm asking, do you feel a difference?
Do you feel
like you are the face of the league?
Do I feel like I'm one of the faces of the league?
Yes. One of no.
One
the
of
face.
No.
You're not.
LeBron is the face. LeBron is still playing.
Okay, it's a question.
Yes.
Question is mine, yours.
Steph,
okay, so you don't feel like that?
No. Steph just won the championship. KD still hoping.
Okay. It's a question, sir.
Embiid is killing.
Don't attack me. I'm just
Jokic back-to-back MVP.
Okay.
Luka Magic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there.
So, threw a lot of names out there. He says, not just me. He says, a lot of faces. But if you had to answer that question, who is the face of the NBA? Who would you say?
LeBron. LeBron's the most recognizable face in the league for another year or two. And then, here's the order I would put him in.
Okay.
LeBron 1.
Yep.
Steph 2.
Yep.
Durant 3. Mm. Giannis 4. And I'm not sure Luka is there yet, but he's coming. He's coming like on a bullet. So I think I'd put Luka 5. Would your list be different? The only person I left out that I wanted to put in was Embiid.
With all due respect to LeBron James, I think Steph is now the face of the league.
If
coming off that championship, he's got all the commercial. Well, they both all right, have
so
a lot
if
of
we walked into if we walked into a restaurant, you and I together, and in one corner was LeBron and in the other corner was Steph, what table gets more attention?
Honestly, probably the LeBron table.
Yeah, so that's why I picked LeBron.
Yeah, probably the LeBron table.
I mean, LeBron could go down as the greatest player of all time. It's either him or Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there, one or two, depending on how you look at it. Steph, though, is there. I mean, Steph. I'm going to come around. I think it is LeBron, and Steph is a strong number two.
Right.
What do you think, Bergman?
So I think it's LeBron. LeBron is absolutely. I think there's different questions here. Who's the best player in the league is Giannis. Who's the face of the league is LeBron. And LeBron is going to be the face of the league even after he retires. Because
yeah, that's actually a really good point.
Yeah, it's always going to be LeBron.
I know this sounds crazy. Bring it up again when Michael's in on Friday.
Yep.
I think Embiid might be better than Giannis. What is Embiid's weakness?
Injury.
Yeah, but lately he's been pretty
reliable. He's been healthy. I saw he for 59 the other night. But I think that it's durability is the knock on Embiid.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, when healthy, I think he's the most dynamic.
And by the way, the only knock on Giannis is that he can't shoot.
Yes.
Everything else he's great at.
So Embiid has never played more than 68 games in a season. Last year was the first time he hit 68.
Yeah, so durability is the question mark, I think. Durability. All right, so I wanted to get to this thing before we wrap.
Oh, my friend Steve Jackson just said Ja Morant. Would Ja be on that list?
Probably not yet. I mean, he's
most,
going
to Michael
be there.
Thinks he's the most athletic guard ever to play in the league.
Well, he's crazy. I mean, I saw a clip from a dunk last night that was just a joke. Just a joke. All right, so here's my favorite headline of the day. I'm just going to read it as it's been written in the Daily Mail.
Okay. That's London?
London, yes.
Okay.
Woman who married a rag doll claims their relationship is hanging on by a thread.
She married a rag doll.
Yes, she did. So you want to know more about her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sadly, I do.
Okay. So, woman who married a rag doll reveals he has cheated. Just as the pair are set to celebrate their first wedding anniversary,
he cheated on the rag doll.
No. The rag doll cheated on her. It's a guy rag doll.
I'm regretting saying that word as it comes out of my mouth. How did the rag doll cheat?
I'm getting there. So this
obviously she did it.
37-year-old woman hit headlines earlier this year after revealing she had met the love of her life, a rag doll named Marcello. She has since admitted their relationship is hanging on by a thread after claiming he has cheated on her. In the latest twist of this very bizarre tale, she claimed he went to a motel with another woman and even says she found text messages on his phone.
Now, when they say another woman, did he go to the hotel with an actual woman or another rag doll?
That's a great question. Run away with another rag doll.
And does the first rag doll qualify as "quote unquote" a woman?
Yeah, no, it's
or a homewrecker.
A homewrecker. Now, here's the she actually did this wedding and invited 75 people to the wedding. She had 75 people at a wedding where she was marrying, when I say a rag doll, I mean, Ireland, I will send this to you, this handsome wedding photo.
I'm not sure if I want you to, but go ahead.
Sending this handsome wedding photo of the rag doll. And I don't know what she sees him, to be honest with you.
No, he's a very attractive rag doll.
No, he's very plain. He's a very plain rag doll.
No, I mean, he drew her face, she drew his face on very well.
Now I,
you know, all of us on this show are a little weird.
Yes,
I don't even think we would go out with a rag doll. Is it? Would any of the four of us go out with a rag doll?
With a rag doll,
I mean, for the bit.
I mean, yeah, for the bit.
Maybe a different kind of doll.
Oh, Jorge.
You totally would.
So I just sent it, John, and they do make a cute couple, this ragdoll and this woman. She's, by the way, attractive lady. She's a very attractive lady. And there she is kissing a ragdoll.
Yeah, right when I decide that I'm a little too strange, you read a story like this and all is right with the world. Just unbelievable.
The headline makes it. Relationship yeah. hanging on by a thread. It's so good.
Did you get the picture, John?
Not. Oh, wait, here it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait.
That's a nice looking ragdoll.
This is absolutely effing pathetic. Is that mustache drawn on with a Sharpie?
It looks like she drew his face on.
And she is, for lack of a better term, attractive.
Yeah, she's attractive. And yet somehow she goes through, she invites 75 of her friends to a wedding.
And what do you do if you're one of the friends? If Bergman sends us an invite to his wedding to a ragdoll, are we going?
No.
Yes, you are.
Oh, I would go.
Absolutely.
I would want pictures for my gram, Greg and his ragdoll.
Yeah. Greg, as always, I would send an RSVP no and buy you a wedding gift. And in this case, I'd buy you a sewing kit. So when you rip the ragdoll, you can repair
it. That's true. Sewing kit. They registered at Bed Bath & Beyond for a sewing kit. That's a very, very good gift. All right. Anyway, enough of that. So Jeff Saturday, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, still sounds weird, is not allowed to play fantasy football anymore.
Yeah, I saw that.
And now that he's a coach, you're not allowed to gamble, all that stuff. So he had to transfer his fantasy team to Eric Decker, the mm-hmm. former, I think of him as a Jets wide receiver. Is that
right?
Pretty much it. So I guess think about this. If you had to transfer your fantasy team to somebody to run, mm-hmm. who would you trust with it? Think about that. Plus, guess what is on the rise? Play some spooky music.
Exorcism.
Your weight? Yeah, no, that's on the rise too. But yeah. Exorcism is on the rise. We'll talk about that coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, so this is another nominee for best song or best record at the Grammys, and I believe, John, can you identify this act? I kind of have a...
It sounds like ABBA, but it's obviously not.
It is ABBA. They released a brand new album this really? Year, and this song got nominated for best record. Now, I've never heard it until exactly this moment. I saw them on the list, but that is definitely, definitely ABBA.
Is it ABBA or ABBA?
I've heard it said both ways. I don't know.
ABBA. ABBA. ABBA.
I don't
know. ABBA. ABBA.
I always thought it was ABBA.
You have sound? HABBA?
Yes. Yeah, Greg HABBA. Thinks it's HABBA.
HABBA. By the way, does everybody's mom like Mamma Mia? Is that just like unanimous Mamma Mia for
I've never
moms?
Asked my mom.
Oh, my God. I guarantee you Myrna loves Mamma Mia.
I'll ask. I talked to her last night.
My mom, if they had Mamma Mia anything, she would be there. I got dragged to Mamma Mia 2 as if the first one wasn't bad enough. And this is ABBA or ABBA. One or the other. I think everybody's mom likes Mamma Mia. Such an obnoxious. There you go. Okay, let's not get this trapped in our heads.
Oh, it's coming back every break now.
Let's not get this trapped in our heads. It's not nice to do to the people.
Hey, did you have something you wanted to do here?
Yes.
Can I ask you something?
Well, I was going to ask you, fantasy team. Jeff Saturday had to give up his fantasy team because he's a head coach in the NFL now. If you had to give up your fantasy football team,
mm-hmm.
who would you trust with it?
Okay, so I gave this some thought.
Okay.
The only person at the station who's as competitive as me
mm-hmm.
is Bergman. But he doesn't care about fantasy.
Yeah, he hates fantasy.
I used to play a lot of it. I'm good at it. I just don't like.
Yeah. So, Bergman, you were my first thought, but I know you don't give a crap about fantasy.
Not anymore.
What about first place Mace?
No, you would not. I've seen you crater in too many seasons. I think and I remember one time I offered to do a team with Lindsay, and she wasn't that into it. Cap mails it in.
Yeah, he does mail it in.
Sedano's too busy.
Too busy, yeah.
I don't think Sliwa cares.
No.
I know Travis doesn't
care.
Well,
Travis follows it real close. He does the Rams Locked podcast. Is it the Rams Locked? Locked Rams?
Locked on Rams.
Locked on Rams podcast right. Every day.
So you need somebody who would take it seriously.
Yep.
Who is responsible. And who you really don't need to worry about, like, missing a deadline or something.
Correct.
So you know who fits all those boxes?
Who?
Carlos Saisu.
Carlos Saisu would be excellent. That's a great call.
That would be my choice. Our social media guy, Carlo, I would trust him with my fantasy
team. Is on it. He is on it. So I would go to, I'm in a fantasy baseball league with Momo, mm-hmm. and the team is really operated by her uncle Phil. And Momo, they say they have, you know, meetings and all that stuff, but I think Uncle Phil's doing all of it. So I would leave my fantasy football team to Uncle Phil. Ramona's Uncle Phil, really? I think.
Lindsay
I could
trust. Just texted me. She's a 4-time fantasy champ, but the last time I talked to her about fantasy, she was like, take it or leave it. I think we offered her a chance to be in our league back when she was doing our show, and she was like, I really don't care.
Yeah,
that was smart of her. Your league sucks.
No, our league does not suck.
It's the weirdest rules of all time.
They're not that
Even
weird.
Even Matthew
By
Berry
the way, they're
comes
not
on
that weird anymore. You got, yeah, I know, but the league has evolved. Our league rules are not crazy anymore.
How many quarterbacks do you need to draft?
We have to start with 3, but then you can dump 2 right away.
Our league rules are kind of crazy.
You get to change right up to the moment. There was a time when you had to have your lineup set for the entire weekend on Thursday
at noon.
Which was stupid.
How do you get waiver wire pickups?
You email. Lenny figures
nothing,
it out.
Greg, nothing is done by computer in our league. It's all done by the commissioner.
Yeah, no, Lenny Bart.
Why would you do that?
The Fred Flintstone of commissioners.
But, you know, you look at Lenny, the league's been going 30 years.
It has been going 30
He's
years.
He's tied with you for first place.
Yes, you're right.
Well, he has control of everything.
You're right. Yeah. All right, what did you have, John?
Okay, so... You know, the World Cup, when's it start? Saturday, Jorge?
Yes. Is it Saturday?
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Okay, so did you guys see this story that Rod Stewart, the musician, turned down $1 million to perform at the World Cup next week?
Yes.
A kid from BTS, that South Korean group, is going to take the gig instead. Do you think more or less of Rod Stewart for turning this gig down?
You know, he's standing on principle, obviously.
Right.
There is great mistreatment of LGBTQ people in Qatar. There were a lot of deaths from migrants who were working on building stadiums and all that stuff.
Even the guy who's the head of the World Cup has come out and said that they never should have given this World Cup to Qatar.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that he's. I mean, Rod Stewart doesn't need the money. I mean, Rod Stewart is loaded. It would. So I actually admire that he's standing on principle here.
What's weird is, I don't think Rod Stewart, had he taken that gig, should be necessarily criticized for it. And here's why. The World Cup is going to go on no matter what. We're going to play in it. The United States is going to play in it. If we wanted to, we could make a political statement by saying, you know what, we're not going to participate. We've done it before with the Olympics.
Yes, we could boycott.
We could, but we've chosen not to, and I have no problem with that. I don't really want to blame the athletes for things.
No, their
can't
team
control.
Is gone. The U.S. men's national team is gone. So
yeah, but
all the
because of that, I wouldn't have had a problem with Rod Stewart had he agreed to do this.
Yeah, I would not.
And I don't have a problem with the BTS kid doing it.
I would not go to Qatar. I would not.
What if
visit
you were
Qatar.
Working?
I wouldn't cover the World Cup.
What if NBC said, hey, you did such a great job for us during the Olympics. We just bought the rights to the World Cup. We want to hire you to do the World Cup.
Well, first of all, it's a lot of travel and it's a lot of work. And you know, I don't like work.
Right.
So,
but they would pay you.
But they would pay me. Yeah, I would probably pass on it. I would. I mean, honestly, you can't go and, I mean, especially as a gay guy going to Qatar, I don't think you really want to be there.
Is that it? I mean, it's that dangerous?
Yes, it is.
I've seen reports of reporters trying to record like their stories for the day, and security guards or people from there just come out and say, you can't be filming here. The guy said, no, we met with FIFA and we have all our, you know, credentials. We're allowed to film.
We're allowed to film.
And they're not letting them film not one thing.
Yeah.
They want them to shut down.
Yeah, it's hyper restrictive. There are a lot of human rights violations throughout the Middle East. And obviously we've talked about the Saudis and the LIV
right,
tour.
Right, but
Mace,
you must have faced this or crossed this with the Olympics in some of the sites they've had. I mean, they've had the Olympics in communist countries. I don't know if you ever had to actually set foot in them, but you worked them, right?
Let's see. Have I done one that was in a communist country?
Did you do any of the China Olympics? Beijing?
I did Beijing 2008 from New York. I did not go.
Yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't criticize you for that.
Yeah,
you were offered a job, you took the job. I don't think you're making a political statement by agreeing to take the gig, and I would have said the same thing about Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know from this kid from BTS or if that's is that a good booking? One of the BTS guys
did the other eleven
of them say no? There are so many BTS people in one spot. It's like
And I don't know anything about BTS. Aren't they a rotating like I think there's like five or six kids that are in it?
Well, it's like a hockey team. They're running shifts.
It's
what?
Not like, if I understand it correctly, it's not like a regular band. It's not like John, Paul, George, Ringo.
Yeah,
it's like six guys, and they float in and out.
There are so many people in BTS.
Right. It's like, remember Menudo?
Do you think it's Menudo?
I think it's that kind of thing.
If you know the, like Menudo, it was always the same guys, and then you'd get to a certain age, and they'd say, thanks, you're out of Menudo.
You're out.
Yep.
Wasn't Ricky Martin in Menudo?
He was in Menudo, at one point. Yeah, I don't know the story with the BTS thing, but yeah, I mean, in terms of, it wouldn't, let me put it this way. If it was today, and I was offered that job, I wouldn't take it.
Right.
But Rod Stewart, everybody makes their own judgments on this stuff. I'm not, there are a lot of human rights atrocities all over the planet. Some people engage in business with those countries, and you know, some people have to and have no choice. And in this case, I'm sure that a lot of people in the World Cup, a lot of the countries are upset that this is going on in Qatar, given the way they treat people. So I'm not gonna bang on Rod Stewart or the lone BTS guy because the other seven guys weren't available. Is that what it is? No, don't. Don't Mamma Mia that. Yeah, if you know something about BTS and if it's a rotating cast or how many members? It seems like there are like 11 members, 12 members, something like that. It's a stage full of people.
Right. And they got that, what's that one song about butter?
Oh, they have a song called Butter. Yeah, I know that song called Butter.
There are seven members: Jin, Suga, J-Hope, RM, Jimin, V, and Jungkook.
Okay, so how many? Seven?
I think you mispronounced five of the seven.
Probably, but he's giving an earnest effort.
It was.
As long as you're earnest about it, I think you're okay. All right, coming up next for you, let's do this. It's on the screen. LeSean McCoy said something interesting about Bill Belichick. I want to play that for you coming up next. And I will also compose this text message to Kevin Demoff. And I want you to predict how he's going to respond.
Okay.
That is coming up for you. Then Bobcat, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, when you put it that way, you've been trying for 11 months.
Yeah, no, it is embarrassing, isn't it? It really is painful. Is this Mary J. Blige?
Yes, it is.
What's the name of the cut?
Good Morning Gorgeous.
Good Morning Gorgeous. This is one of the nominees for Record of the Year at the Grammys. The you can always tell the voice of Mary J. Blige, one of the greats. So she's nominated at the Grammys, too. We're trying to play all the songs that are nominated for Record of the Year at the Grammys. So here, I wrote a Dear Kevin letter.
Get the text.
Dear Kevin, you may not know this, but I have sung the national anthem for the Dodgers, Angels, Kings, and a lot of other places. Would you let me sing at SoFi? By the way, your response will get read on the air.
And then I think you need to include the file of you singing at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, that's a good plan. I didn't think of that. Make a file, Jorge. He sent back a GIF just now.
You already sent it?
Yeah, he sent a GIF back almost instantaneously. It's the it's from, which one was it? The Leslie Nielsen with Enrico Palazzo?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo.
Yeah, that was a Naked Gun.
Naked Gun. That's the one. He sent me that. Now, that's not a yes or no. That's not. He sent me a gift that says, hey, it's Enrico Palazzo, and then they show Nielsen. So it's definitely not a no yet. So I got a shot. I got a shot. You came across this interesting piece of sound from LaShawn McCoy. Now, John, you looked into this. Does LaShawn have a podcast? Was he appearing on a podcast?
He was on Kay Adams' podcast.
Kay Adams,
who used to do Good Morning Football.
Yeah, yeah.
Left that job. Now she has her own podcast, like, because everybody has their own podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And she had LaShawn McCoy on, and he said something. You know, it's fascinating to me how history records, like, greatness.
Yes.
Bill Belichick is generally considered the greatest coach in NFL history. He has 6 Super Bowl rings. But I found it interesting that LaShawn McCoy thinks that he's just a guy. Listen to Kay Adams talking about Belichick and what McCoy says back to her.
You were going great until you said to Belichick.
Because you don't think he's a great, he's not one of the better coaches in the league? No.
He's had Tom Brady. I mean, if you take away Tom Brady, do you know who he is? He's under 500.
He's under 500. So you would take, what do you take away from him then after seeing what he's been like without Brady?
I think he's very blessed to have Tom Brady. And I think now that he doesn't have Tom Brady, he's like all the other coaches, all the other good coaches. The Marvin Lewis's, the Rex Ryan's. He's a necklace. I mean, I'm just being honest. People, they hate for you to be real about Belichick. I think he's a good coach, but all the greatest, and we've never seen anything like him. That's bullcrap.
All right, Mace. So if Bill Belichick had not had Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
right, he had just other quarterbacks.
Yep.
Would he have been, to use the 2 examples LaShawn McCoy used, more like, would he remembered more like Marvin Lewis or Rex Ryan?
You know, he has been a very, very, very ordinary to below par head coach in the NFL without Tom Brady. He is 62-74 without Tom Brady at quarterback.
But I'm surprised there are that many games without Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, remember, he was there before Tom Brady started, right?
Yeah.
And then there have been games afterwards, 62-74, and then there were injuries. So when Tom Brady didn't play, for whatever reason, because he's injured. He is 62-74 without Tom Brady. I'm sorry, he is. The question is settled. Who was more responsible for the Patriots' success, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? It was clearly Tom Brady. Tom Brady literally left Bill Belichick, went to Tampa, and won a Super Bowl instantly. Without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick is an ordinary coach.
Really?
Yes. How do those numbers lie? 62-74.
Yeah, but there were some of those. Like that one year he didn't have Tom Brady, he had Matt Cassel. He went 10-6.
That's factored in.
It seems to me I'd much rather have Bill Belichick than Marvin Lewis or Rex Ryan.
He chose really bad examples. Bill Belichick would not still be coaching the New England Patriots if there was no Tom Brady. He just wouldn't.
Yeah, he would have been fired.
He would have been fired by now.
Well, I mean, he also did well with Jimmy Garoppolo when Brady was out. He did well with Jacoby Brissett even when Brady was out.
62-74. I'm not making up numbers. Well, 62-74.
Right, but I mean, you're talking about most of his career with Tom Brady and Tom Brady's prime throughout that entire time. It's
right, so it
them.
Was more Brady than it was Belichick.
But you don't know that. I mean,
he left and Matt immediately Castle won another Super Bowl.
Matt Castle was doing well with him, like John was just saying. It's just tough to say what it would have been like without him, without Brady, because it didn't happen.
Well, we know what it's like because it's 62-74.
That was before and after.
Correct. It's before and after. It's, in other words, he's ordinary without Tom Brady. John, would you accept that as a premise? He's ordinary without Tom Brady?
Ordinary is a pretty strong word. I would say he's better than average, although the numbers, I don't know if we can take those numbers that literal. What'd you say, 62-74?
62-74.
That surprises me.
Yep.
But it's interesting that LeSean McCoy and other players feel that
way. I'm trying to think, did he have he never played for Belichick, right?
McCoy?
Yeah, I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I don't think he was ever there. But, the answer is forever settled. The success of the New England Patriots was more Tom Brady than it was Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Do you think if you gave Robert Kraft a do-over, he would have kept Brady and sent Belichick packing? Knowing what he knows now?
Yeah, I never understood how that went down. I would have kept... Yeah, I would have either...
Well, I mean, it played out in L.A. in 2004, and... Jerry Buss kept Kobe and let Phil and Shaq walk. And it wasn't until he brought Phil back that they got it all going. Like, would you apply the same thing to Phil Jackson? If we looked at Phil's record when he didn't have Shaq, Kobe, or Jordan, it would probably be bad. But he had those guys. So couldn't we just say about Belichick, he was great at coaching a star quarterback?
Sure. He was great at coaching a star quarterback. You can say that. But I just look at the track record and I see ordinary without Tom Brady, Super Bowls with him. Tom Brady leaves, immediately gets another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to settle the question to a great degree. So I don't disagree with LeSean McCoy and his take. I mean, I wouldn't denigrate Bill Belichick. He still was the head coach.
Who's the best coach in the NFL right now?
McVay.
Andy Reid.
McVay. Hmm.
It's hard.
Look at all of McVay's assistants. Kevin O'Connell. And
you'd rather have McVay than Andy Reid?
Yeah, I would.
Huh. Yeah, it's hard. But then you got all these new guys, like Brian Daboll's having a really good year.
Really good year, yeah. I just think at this moment, McVay is...
Would you rather have McVay than Kyle Shanahan?
Yes.
Why?
Because he beat him in the playoffs.
But he's like 1-9 against him.
I know, but the one was everything. The one got us to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think McVay, and I think it bears out when you look at Kevin O'Connell and Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur and all of the assistants who have gone out and learned from, like, isn't how big is your tree related to how good you are as a head coach?
Sure.
He's got the most impressive tree right now of any coach in the NFL.
McVay in the NFL, Popovich in the NBA. Who would it be in baseball? I don't know. Baseball's more of a Andrew Friedman problem.
Correct. It's more of a front office issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, going to do some Bobcat. Bergman's got a bunch of stuff he's going to throw at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so the Kings beat the Brooklyn Nets last night 153-121, which is a lot of points given up. KD said to Bleacher Report yesterday, look at our starting lineup. Edmund Sumner, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, and me. It's not disrespect, but what are you expecting from that group? You expect us to win because I'm out there? What do you think of that quote, John?
I think he's honest and right. The Nets and the Lakers tried to build with, like, giant stars at the top of the lineup and, you know, role players at the bottom, and you got to get the role players right. And what you're seeing with both the Nets and the Lakers right now, Mace, is that they are struggling to find the right role players. For every Lonnie Walker, who's been great, there's another guy who, you know, is a minus at that position. So the Nets are running into the same problems the Lakers are, and it's on their front offices to try and find the right guys to put around the stars.
But if you're one of those guys that he just name-checked, who all? Nick Claxton?
Edmund Sumner?
He's just kind of throwing teammates under the bus, isn't he?
Yeah, but isn't
you expect me to win with Nick Claxton?
Isn't that kind of par for the course for Durant?
Yeah, I guess he does say the quiet part out loud. You can say, hey, I don't think we got the team. I don't think we've got to improve this roster, all that stuff. But when you start saying, I mean, you expect me to win with Nick Claxton and Edward Sumner?
Edmund
Sumner, sorry. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that necessarily goes over in the locker room, but that locker room is a disaster anyway, so I'm not sure it makes a difference.
Bobcat.
All right, so Brendan Fraser was out of movies, out of Hollywood for a very long time.
Yeah.
And now he's in the running for GQ's Man of the Year. He may even win an Oscar for, what's the name of that movie that he was going
to? The Whale.
The
directed
Whale.
Directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, so he has a chance to do that. Can you think of anybody that had a bigger return to fame than he possibly is going through right now?
Oh, sure. There have been a lot. Robert Downey Jr., Greg, was arrested once for sleeping in someone else. He got high and
wandered
into
somebody's
house and
yeah.
passed out in some girl's bunk bed. And now Robert Downey Jr. makes, isn't he the highest paid actor in the world?
Yeah, he's right up. By the way, how do you know it was a bunk bed? Is that?
I just remember it.
Such a weird thing to remember, a bunk bed.
I could be wrong, but I'll look it up.
Yeah, the one that came to mind for me was John Travolta after all the Saturday Night Fever stuff and after Grease. And then he came back with Pulp Fiction. It was like, oh, that's John Travolta again. So that's another guy who disappeared for a long time and then made a comeback. But the Brendan Fraser story is a great story, and he may win Best Actor this year. I've not seen this movie yet, but everybody says it's fantastic. It's about a guy who's, I think he, something like 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's called The Whale, and they use a lot of prosthetics and that kind of stuff to make him look like he weighs 500 pounds. But, yeah, I mean, good for Brendan Fraser. He hung in there, man.
And he got a standing ovation at one of these film festivals.
Oh, yeah,
where
they
finished.
Stand and they clap for like 17 minutes?
Yeah, something
Such
like that.
Such a stupid tradition.
I mean, it's a tradition now. That's not even a real thing anymore, right?
No, it's not. Oh, they showed it at the Venice Film Festival, and they stood for 6 minutes. Oh, it's not that good because they stole 8 minutes for another movie. It's just... it's a stupid film festival tradition. But actually, in a moment here, Sean McVay is going to join us, John, for a complete left turn. I didn't know this was going to happen. But
oh, yeah. No, Greg said it was a possibility.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining right now is the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Coach Sean McVay. Sean, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, Coach, and we appreciate you coming on, especially in the middle of this losing streak. And you're a pretty positive. You're like us. You're a pretty glass half full guy. You're a pretty positive guy. How do you keep that? How do you keep positive and positivity and coaching these guys up when you're in the middle of a struggle like you're in now?
Yeah, I think you have to find the small victories. I think you have to look at it through a lens of, all right, what's your job as a coach? It's to try to, you know, help guys reach their highest potential, put them in spots to be successful, try to, you know, help them have an authentic confidence that's in alignment with, you know, clarity and the ability to just go play with a quieted mind on game day. And, you know, that's what you try to do. Now, you want to have an urgency. Are we okay with the losing and do we accept it? No, I'm not saying that. But there's been a lot of different reasons that we're in this position, none of which are anything but an excuse. And all we can do is continue to move forward, control the things that we can control. But to say that it hasn't been challenging, humbling, you know, all those things are very true. But, you know, we've got 8 opportunities guaranteed left. We play the Saints this week, and we want to try to have a good week of preparation, pour into these guys, and then let's go see if we can play and execute better and put them in some better spots. And, you know, that's the only approach that I know how to take.
Matthew Stafford out last week because of concussion protocol. Do you know his status for this week yet?
He's still in the protocol, but he was a full participant today, and he is trending in the right direction, which is a good thing for us.
Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, is with us. Sean, you mentioned how the only way you know how to do this is to kind of step on the gas and go for it. There are some hard decisions, and it's not just you. It's Les, it's the front office, but you guys have been devastated on the offensive line. In some cases, yeah. You've got like third stringers in there. I wouldn't think twice or think less of you if you told Matthew Stafford, hey, look, until we get our offensive line up and running, we're not going to put you out there because you could get killed. Let's see what some of these young guys can do. But on the other hand, Sean, I know that you as a competitor want to put your best quarterback out there. Take me through decisions like that when you're 3-6 and you got to decide, okay, do I put my best players out there or maybe do I wait and think long term?
That's a good question. I think, as competitors, if Matthew's cleared, he wants to go. He wants to be able to compete. Does that mean that you're not trying to be cognizant of the different ways to accentuate some of the different things that, you're working through or try to be, mindful of that? Of course. But, this is what we sign up for. You never want to leave a guy, where if he's going to be susceptible to further injury or, at all, contradicting the safety and the health. But if guys are able to go and he wants to compete, he's our leader and we want him out there. But you're right. I mean, it's been I would be willing to bet you that we've had more combined, things occur this year than in my previous 5 years combined. And it's
right.
You almost can't make it up, some of the things that have occurred. But the way that I look at it is it's forcing us to develop depth. It's getting guys opportunities that we're going to be able to see. Are they capable of helping us, whether it be for the remainder of this year, for, future years? And that's the only way that you can look at it.
Who in a world, and by the way, Cooper Kupp, sadly gone for a minimum of 4 weeks, and he was a huge, huge component in the offense. How do you pick up from here? Who are the guys? I mean, is it more Allen Robinson? Do we see Skowronek? Do we see maybe Lance McCutcheon? Do we see Van Jefferson? What's it going to look like?
I think all of the above. I think it's going to give some guys opportunities that, maybe haven't, gotten them otherwise. And I think we're in the process of figuring out, all right, how do we develop some depth out of that room? Obviously Cooper has been the focal point. You don't ever replace a player like him, but what you can do is develop some depth, find out about some of these other guys that are going to get some chances to play and see how they do with these opportunities. And I just want them to go out and compete and, play fast and free and to the best of their ability.
Sean, you mentioned that you're going down to play the Saints. I don't know how you get ready for this team. I mean, 1 week they shut the Raiders out. And I don't need to tell you, Sean, it's almost impossible to shut a team out in the NFL right now, as good as NFL offenses are. They beat Seattle, who's having a great season. They've got some ugly losses, but they've got some quality wins. What do you focus on when you're taking on a team that's been kind of Jekyll and Hyde like the Saints have?
Well, they're a really good team. I mean, when you flip the tape on, there's been some unique situations and circumstances that have led to them not winning, but they're still a really good football team. Dennis Allen's an excellent coach. They're really sound in all three phases. They've got great players on all three phases. And, they're the epitome of don't let the record fool you. This is a really good team.
So I'm a huge Rams fan. I live and die with the team. I was in a bad mood for yesterday. I think the bad mood ended. How long does the bad mood last for you?
Oof, you don't even want to know the answer to that. I mean, it. You know what? You got to keep it moving. But I wish that it didn't need it. I love this and care about it probably too much for my own health. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
It can eat away at you. All right, so last thing for me, Coach, and Mace mentioned the Cooper Kupp injury. When you look at the guys you do have that will suit up and play wide receiver and tight end for you this week, do you look at one guy and say, okay, you're in the Cooper Kupp role. We need you to be – we're going to target you a lot, and you're going to play Cooper Kupp. Or is Kupp so unique and so good that you kind of have to do it by committee?
Yeah. You don't replace Cooper Kupp. No, you give a lot of other opportunities for guys, but Cooper is unique in and of itself, and you don't replace him. What you do have is a chance for some other guys to be able to get opportunities that they wouldn't get otherwise. And I'm excited about watching those guys go play and compete. And you know, I'm confident that they're going to, you know, go out and do a good job.
Last thing for you. If Matthew doesn't, let's assume there's a world where Matthew doesn't come out of protocol. Do you go with Wolford again, or do you go with Bryce Young? Bryce Perkins.
You know what? That's a good question. You know, I think that's something that we would work through. You know, obviously, you know, John, you know, did some good things. Bryce came in and you know, his opportunities were a little bit more limited, but that would be something that if that did come up, then we'd have to work through that then.
Okay.
Well, Sean, thank you for doing this, thanks, man. We hope you get it turned around this week. Go get him down there.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. There's Coach Sean McVay, head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. How long does the bad mood last?
That was actually a really good question.
Yeah.
I think he answered it. It lasts forever.
Yeah, I mean, I would be in a state of pissed offness for a while.
Well, you know what I've learned about professional athletes and coaches?
Hmm.
The losses hurt way more than the wins are enjoyed. In other words, they expect to win.
Yeah.
So when they lose, they can't believe it. Like, they can't believe you saw Derek Carr break down this week.
Sure.
And start crying.
Yep.
He can't believe that he's devoting this much time to something and failing that miserably at it. And I think that's where the Rams are right now. After winning the Super Bowl, they're 3-6.
Yeah, it's amazing. This year, think about that. It was February of this year.
Right.
7 months ago or whatever that is.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's crazy. All right, coming up next, I meant to do that exorcism thing. Exorcism is on the rise. Lane Kiffin found a brilliant way.
And we could let Bergman finish Bobcat if you want. I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin's got a brilliant way to talk about the officials. Bergman, do you have any decent Bobcat stuff left?
I mean, we got stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's
is
right.
It good?
Yeah,
is it good?
Week,
is it,
we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll save it for tomorrow.
Oh, save it for tomorrow.
I mean, if we wanted some other stuff, I can come up with it.
You can break early tomorrow. We go longer.
Okay, got it.
Perfect.
By the way, Game of Games today, you guys will be very excited. Jeopardy! Radio Jeopardy! I haven't done it in a very long time.
Is it Super Gay Jeopardy?
No, Super Gay Jeopardy is only during Pride Month.
That was Super Gay Double Jeopardy.
That was Super Gay Double Jeopardy.
This is just straight up. You're absolutely right, it was.
Straight up Radio Jeopardy today. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.